If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
4th of July deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances, including the Samsung Bespoke French Door Refrigerator, featuring Beverage Center and Dual Ice Maker. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Now's the perfect time to upgrade your home with top Samsung appliances and hot 4th of July savings at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, mybookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag. Today's Power Lunch is brought to you by The Palm at Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Sure, The Palm is great for a fancy night out, but it's also the perfect midweek spot for a lunch with a client, or lunch to catch up with a friend, or maybe even to do an interesting podcast like this. Power Lunch menu selections at The Palm start at $26 for an appetizer, meal, and dessert. Book your reservation today directly at thepalm.com, open table, or by calling them at 703-917-0200.
I can make most anything on the menu except
whatever you got is fine.
I'm going to say some bad words. You're just going to have to deal with it.
PB&J with the crusts cut off. Well, Brian, this is a very nutritious lunch.
Hey, you got enough money to pay for all this? You know, money, cash, dollars, dinero.
So what I believe you were trying to say is thank you.
Thank you?
You're welcome.
What can I say except you're welcome?
Well, you gotta do a clap track, as you know, to sync up the audio in post-production, all right, Buckhance?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know all this stuff. You're in television, right?
I am.
Steve Buckhance and Chris Nocke are here, everybody, at The Palm in Tyson's Corner. It's been too long, fellas. And how timely is it that my two best basketball guys, Mr. Buckhance, who knows the NBA like nobody else, and you, Nocke, who was part of the DC Coaches Basketball Podcast, still going, right?
Still going.
Available wherever you get your podcast. Get up on the
mic. Wherever you find time to delve into the podcast world, we're there.
Exactly, because there is shit happening in the NBA. This was a down free agency year, and there's trades happening left and right. The big kaboom was the Pacer or the Bucks waving Dame Lillard and saying, we're going to eat $113 million. And then signing Miles Turner from the Pacers for $107 million. 4 years, 107. Wow.
Yeah. They got close, obviously. And when that happens, I think you look for the the one missing piece that might get you over the top, and they're not afraid to lose the money. A lot of teams won't do that because they have a lot of partners. I mean, the Wizards are one of them.
Okay.
They got 15 partners. And this is a business opportunity and a business venture for these people. As much as they'd like to win championships, it's a business thing. They don't want to lose money.
But what's crazy is that as of right now, Nocke, we don't really know. And this just broke in the last hour as I was driving here to the Palm. We don't know if Giannis is happy or pissed off. There's conflicting reports.
Yeah, the good question about that. But I happened to be watching ESPN last night at 7 o'clock. So free agency started at 6, right? Yesterday afternoon. 7 o'clock, ESPN had the usual windbags on, you know, as kind of the
you mean experts?
Yeah.
You love that show, don't you?
Well, yeah. Fortunately, there was no Stephen A.
Okay.
So.
I'm on vacation.
They had
Udonis. I don't have time for this. I've worked all year.
I'm going to Bucky's.
But it was.
We'll talk about Bucky's.
First Bucky's reference of the show. Ding, ding, ding. No, but it's so they start at 7 o'clock, and it was amazing how fluid the situation was. Like every 30 seconds, they would breaking news from Sharm. You know, they have a new tweet.
Sharmania.
Yeah, the new Woj. The new Woj bombs, you know?
Can we stop for a minute, Naki, and just say, how does a guy like Woj walk away from $7 million a year to be an NIL hustler for his former alma mater, Fordham?
St. Bonaventure.
St. Bonnie's, right.
I'm hoping he had so much dough put away, Zabe, that he could just say,
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did, but why wouldn't you want more
gig. What a gig.
Money.
Is that what he was getting, $7
million? I believe so. He was a lot of money. Like, where is crazy. This,
where is he had his own little industry. I mean, he was... You know, anybody who has a something like a Woj bomb named after you,
right?
That's a big deal.
Yeah. So anyway, it's very fluid right now. It's kind of crazy. There's not even any good free agents on the market. I don't want to say good, but not like in years past.
Was Giannis? I thought I read something where he was contemplating maybe giving up.
Well, ESPN's been trying to pry Giannis out of Milwaukee for years now.
Right.
They just want him in a major market, and Giannis is a different cat. He ain't American, as you know. He ain't from the AAU culture of America, which we're going to get into that again today, Naki, because I'm just amazed at how some of these American players who are really good players are getting not drafted or drafted way behind European flyers. Like this guy, Bogoljub Markovic.
But some of
I call him Jump Jump.
But some of that is because of Giannis. You know, it took 15 picks to get to Giannis.
I know.
When he was, and everybody's like, how could we have missed on that guy?
Right.
You know? So as you're always in search of that next guy.
Yeah.
I would have been tempted if I were Dallas. See, I just think Giannis is one of those guys that's absurd and
one
special.
One of one.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's 31, which is not necessarily old, right? Like if I was sitting on that first pick, Dallas, I would have been tempted to parlay the first pick in players and get that guy.
Wow.
I just think in the West, that guy's going to make a difference more than your number one pick. He's a nice player.
Yeah, although this number one pick is pretty special.
Well, the other thing is given what they did during the course of the year, moving Luka, I don't think that GM had the...
Nico
had the huevos to make that kind of a sea changing trade.
After the Luka thing. Yeah.
I don't think I've talked to you guys. I don't think we've been here since the Luka trade. The Luka trade to me is still one of the most bullshit. It would end fantasy leagues if you did that in a fantasy league. You would cry collusion. You'd say, I'm not fucking playing in this league. You can't just give Luka away for a broken down Anthony Davis and one first rounder.
It was bizarre, to say the least.
Bullshit. And then the Lakers sell for $10 million. Convenient.
Tough to figure it out, really.
And the Mavericks get the lottery balls to fall their way.
That's unbelievable.
Convenient.
That's what had me shaking my head was they get the number one pick.
Yeah. Yeah. You used to decry my tinfoil hat thoughts back on the sports reporters, Naki. Can I get you fitted for a 7 3/8 tinfoil hat?
As soon as they got that, I figured like the NBA rules committee would put in that 4-point shot. Like right away.
Listen, we are headed towards a 4-point shot inexorably.
Yeah, okay.
It's just
we have
be
it
a
for
long,
20 years.
Listen,
how long have I known you, Zach?
I know. Well, look, SGA signs for 4 years, $285, making him buck the first $70 million man.
It's insane. And I saw Harden sign for $81 million,
which
for 2 years.
Deemed team friendly.
Yeah.
They said he took a team-friendly $81 million deal. I'm like,
$40 million a year. I hope he can eat.
One of the guys last night, one of the guys windbags on that show said, that's a great deal for both sides.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Seriously?
Great deal. Yeah, exactly.
Seriously.
This is where we are.
That
you know, like the signs
sad.
At the mall, you are here, the big map.
Yeah.
We are at a place in the world of sports. I don't know where we are.
For years, we kept saying at some point the owners will realize that we just can't keep paying these guys what we were paying them. That went out the window about 10 years ago. Right. Now they just throw it out there, millions and millions, and teams that have the money that don't care. There are other teams that don't
narrator
have the money.
In
that,
fact,
that
they did keep paying the money.
They did. More and more of it than we ever thought.
I think one of the stories, one of the subplots of this whole thing is the destruction of the Boston Celtics for the coming years. I mean, I think you're going to see Derek White dealt. They didn't get quite the deal that they wanted from Toronto before the draft. But you don't have Tatum next year. You know, they got Drew Holiday's one of the great winners in the history of the NBA. But he was expensive, $32 million.
He was expensive, and his playoff production was in the single digits, I believe.
Well, that's because he had so many guys around him, too. Well, to be honest with you, he's got
I like Drew Holiday, but they got out of him at the right time.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
So anyway, it's good to have you boys here. We got a lot to talk about. NBA stuff. There's Scott Foster stuff to talk about from the finals. I know that you know him. Alex, come on in, my friend. How are you? Alex is taking care of us today at the Palm for the Power Lunch. I love it. Usual. These boys want veal. That's all I know.
Yeah.
And he wants oysters, right?
No.
I'm paying for the oysters because they're not in clams.
Yeah.
I'm buying those.
Are you really?
Yes, please.
You have
charge
some,
me extra for those.
Have some
needed.
Clams on the half shell?
Yeah, buddy.
The biggest ones you can find.
Knock it up. Because
I don't know if we have on the half shell. I'll go ahead and check. I know we have oregano.
No, I don't want any of that. Okay. If you have raw.
I mean, I'm sure we have
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, there you go.
It's nice of you, Zabe. Thank you.
Well, listen, we're celebrating a big day for you, so just I'll leave it at that. So anyway, there's
Buc-ee's, the big opening of Buc-ee's.
No, we're not celebrating. I mean, I'm going to go to the Buc-ee's in James and in Harrisonburg, but you don't even know about Buc-ee's. So you want the veal?
Yeah, get what do you have? Veal parm? What do you?
We can do a bone-in veal chopped parmesan.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Two of those.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Let me get the lobster bisque too.
Yeah, and I'll have the bisque with the petite filet and a splash of fries, no veggies. Medium rare on the steak. Thank you, Alex.
I'll do a Caesar, Alex.
Okay. Very
Thank
good.
You. Thank good you. Man, Alex.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
Yeah, what was the vegetables with the petite?
No veggies. Splash of fries.
Yeah.
Not a ton.
Nothing splash. Nothing healthy for him. Nothing healthy. Nothing green.
And the steak is healthy.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, the Scott Foster thing in the NBA Finals, all I was doing is I was thinking of you, Buck, because you know him personally.
And
he's a very well-respected referee.
He's one of the top two or three referees, maybe the top referee.
That's like saying it's the hottest girl in the trailer park.
You still have it out for the men in stripes, don't you?
God. Yeah. I was getting Scott Foster texts from Buck, you know, prior to Game 7, so I know this story. I know.
Okay, so he was notable in the series. He did Game 5, right? And something happened in Game 5 that got the internet all buzzing about Scott Foster. And then I guess someone just said, well, let's just pretend like he's the new Dick Pavetta. Or he's the new, you know, guy that's in there to make sure the NBA gets the outcome it wanted. Although at this point, it didn't matter, the outcome. Oklahoma City or Indiana, I don't think it mattered. I don't think the NBA cared either way. Adam Silver has proven that he is not his predecessor. He's had 7 different champions now in the last 7 years. And I believe it's 10 of 12. Whereas Stern had 8 teams in 33 years. So it's a different league now.
That's amazing.
Not that they're, you know.
They're not marionettes. I know what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But still. And so then Foster became the whole, oh, is he going to do Game 7? Does that mean that the fix is in or something? And then, Buck, he was left off Game 7, which is a shock because he's one of the best. He's gotten the best assignments. It was weird.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of this I can comment on, really. But
all of it, please. Thank you very much. Nobody's listening. It's just a podcast. You don't have any big job to be fired from. Just let it loose, man.
Now, he is one of the top officials, and it was surprising. But all I will say is this. The league is aware of controversy with officials.
Okay.
And they don't want any of that. I know that regardless of what Adam Silver's take is, they want to stay away from as much controversy as they can. And so that's
probably they did it.
Yeah.
Well, that must have really hurt your boy,
it
Scott.
It did.
Because he prides himself on doing the best job he can.
And he is.
Being in the biggest games.
I think he's the best official in the NBA. And he doesn't take anything from anybody. He's a by-the-book guy. and but for whatever reason, he gets caught up in controversy with whether it's Chris Paul or whoever it happens to be. Social media loves to do all kinds of analytics and figure out who did this and who did that and who was officiating at the time. I think that's all bullshit.
I have heard that Chris Paul is a bag.
Well, I told you this before.
Yes.
Now, this I can tell you.
Yes.
Okay, so a very, very good friend of mine is Joe Forte, who refereed for 20 years in the league, and his son, Brian, is still working. He's still a referee, top referee. He worked in the playoffs. And I had asked Joe once, who was the worst guy you ever had to officiate for? And unequivocally, without hesitation.
flinching.
He said Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And I've heard it from other referees too.
I've heard it from other people. Yeah. You know,
you too?
Yeah. People who wouldn't know.
That is a tough guy to deal with.
Tough guy to like. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he'll go. I was told that he went right up to Dick Bavetta one time and MF'd him right to his face.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So okay. Again, now
that should be an ejection. That's like Tropic Thunder, right? When he goes up to the referee and he just screams all these obscenities at him.
Yeah.
Making a move, and it is worth the wait.
On it long. Woo!
Traveling.
No. 1.5 steps.
Come on, Jackie. You walk.
Suck my cock. I'll murder your family. You're gone, Jackie Moon.
What? Jackie Moon is ejected from the game.
What did I say?
You said that's my seat.
And one lucky fan will go home with a game ball.
That's your head next time.
You're a big baby, Jackie.
Jackie Moon and the referee really going at it here.
I didn't say anything.
You said S-M-I-C.
I barely raised my voice.
I should call your mother.
You need a phone to heaven to do that.
Maybe your ma didn't go to heaven.
Oh, dear. Oh, my. Oh, no.
Okay. Everyone off the floor. Let's go. Traffic, let's go.
No, Jackie.
It appears a line has been crossed by Father Pat of all people.
Look, Jackie, I'm sorry.
Stop the broadcast.
Jackie Moon is pulling his team off the court.
You forfeit this game, Jackie, if you keep walking.
That's fine.
You threaten to kill my family.
God damn it, Pat. What the hell's wrong with you?
Don't get on your high horse, Redwood. Thank you, Dick, for staying.
And that will do it from St. Louis, where the score is inconclusive. Good night.
Dick.
That's it.
We go to church together.
Not anymore.
There's certain things you can get away with and certain things you can't, but he's known for being difficult to deal with on the court.
Okay. All right. So apparently after game four, people were calling Scott Foster the extender.
You see, I don't agree with any of that.
For his perceived ability to influence series outcomes questionable calls.
I know
it's bullshit, and even Rick Carlisle defended Foster.
Yeah, he did.
Saying very strongly, it's stupid. And he's a great ref.
Yeah, it is stupid, but that's what social media does. And that's the world we live in now.
But it's also what Stern created with the league. Stern birthed this baby of suspicion how the league operates.
No, Tim Donaghy birthed this.
Well, the fact that they couldn't sniff Donaghy out is also a black mark on Stern's regime.
At this point
regime.
In time, don't you look at Donaghy and Stern as a sort of... not in it together because Stern wasn't gambling, but he put the kibosh to any real reckoning for right. Donaghy. You know, I mean, in terms of the full investigation, obviously he's not worked. Yeah. You know, he lost that job.
Stern wanted Donaghy through in jail and out of his hair as quick as possible. Yeah. Didn't want to find out more.
And it wasn't so much Donaghy, because we knew that he was going down, and he did. He went to prison. It was the other guys in the league who may or may not be doing something similar. Wow,
okay.
Look at that.
Look at the clams.
Beautifully done.
Nicely done.
Clams on the half shell.
Now Buck Hance is happy.
And I'm more of a, you know, I know oysters are popular and people love them, and that's great. But I'm a clams guy. If I can get clams on the half shell, I like them better than oysters.
Okay. What is Clams Casino?
Well, that's baked, and it's got a little garlic butter, and it's got some bacon on it, and that kind of thing.
So there's clams?
Casino, there's clams oregano, there's all of those.
What's oregano?
That's got oregano.
Is it raw or is it cooked?
That's also cooked.
Okay. So these are raw clams on the half shell.
Mm-hmm.
There's clams, there's oysters, and there are...
Mussels?
Mussels.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then there's all kinds of oysters. Rockefeller, that if you, I mean, if you go to New Orleans and you get them the baked, you know, the grilled oysters,
yeah,
that's special. Have you never been...
No, I don't eat raw...
Well, they're not raw. Those are...
Okay, but I don't eat any of this raw stuff.
All right.
I will have the, what do they call it? The Tutti Frutti da Mare, the pasta with the shells of clams in there.
Frutti da Mare,
Frutti da Mare, thank you very much.
Yeah, no, that's good, but that's all cooked stuff. This is raw.
I don't get the raw, they just slide down your throat, right?
Well, so do the oysters, but it's a...
They're like, do you do oysters, Knock?
Yes, I do.
Why do you love them?
They're tasty.
Tasty?
Yeah.
Even though you're not tasting them, they're just,
you know,
it's an acquired
down.
Taste.
Yeah.
Same.
Okay.
An acquired.
I like them raw or fried or, you know, or baked like a...
Anyway.
All right. Well, while Buck Hance is eating his clams.
Yeah, we've lost him.
Knocky, you and I cannot.
We've lost
him. Well, I just want to finish that one thing on the Donaghy thing.
Okay.
And Chris was right. It shut down all the other possibilities of... what could have been in the NBA, and Donaghy obviously paid for it. But it also, and we've talked about this before, this began what has become the transparency, not only of the NBA, but every sport there is. This really started replay like you can't believe, because the NBA, after this happened, which was almost ruined the league.
It was an earthquake, for sure.
Almost ruined the credibility of the league. All of the things you see today with regard to transparency, the two-minute
report,
all that bullshit, the referees being announced at 9 o'clock in the morning, not when they show up on the court.
Right.
All of those things come from the Tim Donaghy incident, because the NBA had to figure out a way to be transparent and let people know that they were on the up and up. Same thing with every other sport.
That was part of it, but another big part of it, Buck or Naki, is that Cuban, for whatever you think of him, really pushed hard. He was the one that started tracking crew chiefs,
right,
and calls and tendencies, and it really pissed the league off, because he was on a warpath as an owner early on, and that forced the NBA to actually start looking at with very fine metrics their own referees.
And I don't think adding integrity to the league is a bad thing, and that's what Cuban forced. He forced a several layers of sort of self-policing.
Right.
Back to Foster not working, to me, it was a great move by the league, and I'm going to take Foster and his ability and put it on a shelf. I'm just saying, to my way of thinking, Zabe, I thought it was a riveting finals. I thought it was outstanding. I thought the playoffs were tremendous.
Right.
And anything that takes away even a minute of thought about how good the playoffs have been and about how riveting those finals were, I don't want it near the product.
Yeah, I think it was the right move. I really do. Tough for Scott to have to take the bullet.
He's a big boy. He's worked a lot of important games in his life.
He'll work a lot.
They all want the white jacket, right? Isn't that the they all wear the white finals?
Yeah, you get a jacket for the final?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd wear that around to the mall and stuff. Just, you know,
you'd have it on right now.
It's 92 degrees. I don't care. I'd still be wearing my white Swift jacket. Balls.
I have an old one that Joe Forte gave me.
Really?
Look at you.
When they used to walk. Next time we do a podcast.
Come in with it.
It was, and I have a whistle that he gave me that he invented, the Fox 40.
Forte invented the Fox 40 whistle.
I never told you this story.
This is the beadless whistle for those that don't know whistles.
As it can always be heard. Yeah.
That's used by not just NBA referees, but virtually every policeman, lifeguard in the world.
For those that don't know, whistles used to have a little inside of it that would rattle around and create the sort of the vibrance and the depth to the whistling of the slot in the whistle that created the high pitch thing.
Right.
But in football especially, that would freeze as spittle and other stuff, coaching stuff or referee stuff, as you would call it, Naki,
white coaching
got
stuff.
Got inside the chamber of it. So the Fox 40 has two cutouts on the side of it that produces what sounds like a P rattling, but in fact it's a harmonic effect of one note being slightly higher than the other, and so it sounds good, and it's super loud, never freezes.
Right, and Joe Forte was at a game in Brazil or somewhere down there, and with a guy named Ron Foxcroft.
Yeah.
And they couldn't hear the whistle, so they decided to invent this new whistle, and it was a long process.
They decided to. How does that work?
Well,
let's build a better whistle.
It was a long process. So they did. They got the the mold. They invented the whistle. And then Joe's wife named the whistle after Ron Foxcroft and Joe Forte, the Fox 40.
Oh.
And that's how that. And so literally when Joe worked a game, he was literally blowing his own horn.
His own whistle.
I would hope he's a rich man as a result of this.
No money in whistles.
Didn't work out well.
It cost like 6 cents a piece to make them, I believe. Just plastic.
But that's an interesting, plastic it's a cool molding. Story, though.
I feel like I should go Paul Harvey now and say, and now you know.
The rest of the story.
Okay, so the finals were compelling. SGA was amazing. A lot of other players really stepped up. Halliburton was amazing. I want your take, Naki, on Halliburton, because working in Milwaukee land and Bucks realm, he is a absolutely hated player.
I get it.
However, my colleague, Brian Butch, who you know, is from the very area, the Fox Valley, Oshkosh, that Halliburton's from. And he likes Halliburton, the kid, a lot. He hates his dad.
Yeah.
His dad is a fucking asshole.
He's a clown.
Complete clown asshole and a terrible referee, by the way. He referees youth games in and around the Fox Valley. And I've had numerous people go, whenever we see Halliburton's dad, we know it's a clown show. Fans will be getting ejected. Mascots getting ejected. Like, it's crazy, they say.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So it was no surprise then that he ends up, you okay, Buck? You good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He ends up, you know, with that stupid stunt to Giannis out on the court right after they eliminated the Bucks. You know, taunting him basically, right?
Yeah.
So there's a conflict there. And I say, look, he's not a top 10 player in the NBA, but he's clutch as shit. He's got a unique sort of a game, and you got to respect that. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he grew on me. I didn't. There were a lot of the annex, like the whole Reggie Miller.
You didn't like that?
No, I'm not being.
The dude hit all these great shots. What's he supposed to not?
And that was flex? Maybe the most remarkable of the shots. That was a step back. He thought it was a three.
Boy,
yeah, went up 14 up feet in the air.
Yeah.
And I agree. He's got the gene. He's got the clutch gene. He grew on me a lot during the course of the series.
They love him in Indy, by the way.
I honestly, Zabe, he's one of those guys that if he plays for your team, you'll love him.
If he doesn't,
if he's on the other squad, you can't stand him. Yeah. And there are a bunch of guys like that. You know what I mean? But I think he's polarizing. But he's a hellacious player. He's a very good player. And he's sadly be missing next season.
I know.
You know, I mean, Tatum.
I want to get your thoughts on Achilles injuries. We'll do that after the break. We're going to eat our lobster bisque. Buck Hance is now on a salad. You look happy, Buck.
I'm thrilled.
And you're being fed.
How can you not be happy if you're at the Palm?
At
there's
the Palm
veal.
At Tyson's
and there's veal in your future.
And veal is coming. I love it. All right. Power lunch here. Naki and Buck Hance are back after this.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At MyBookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at MyBookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code Zabe. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code Zabe to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Man, oh man, was that incredible.
Insane.
Veal.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Love the power lunch here at the Palm. Good stuff.
You can't beat it. You got your picture on the wall here?
I do not. I know you do, though. You got two of them up there. That tells you how many times Buck has been here.
My mother used to love to come here. She lived over at the Rotunda, which is right across the street.
Yeah.
And she loved to come here. Didn't eat anything, but loved to come here and have the family, and then everybody would eat on her dime. Oh, yeah.
Did she insist upon sitting beneath your picture?
No, we didn't. No, that wasn't a prerequisite. Nope. But
she pointed it out to anybody who asked.
Everybody. Yeah. And in fact, my sisters took a picture. I don't know if it was a selfie or whatever, because there's a caricature right here in the front. It's the two of them with me in the background, and it's a great picture. Nice. It's a lot of fun.
All right, so I understand there's not really any criteria for getting your picture on the wall.
You just have to ask. Because there are people that are up there that you know aren't in the public eye.
That don't belong.
I wouldn't say that, but
like,
yeah. They're
like Jerry Tucci, who's just a car parts salesman down at the Mopar in town. Like, what's he doing up here? I don't even know
where
that
Jerry
guy
Tucci.
Is.
Tucci, yeah.
All right, so Naki.
Jablonski Auto Parts.
Naki, man of basketball. What's up with these Achilles injuries?
Oh, man. You know,
did you ever blow yours out?
I never did. I mean, I had a knee replacement a couple of years ago. I don't think I was athletic enough to blow anything.
Buck Hans, did you ever blow out your Achilles going for the buffet?
I can't move quickly enough to blow out an Achilles.
Or an Achilles.
I will say this.
It can snipe you at any time.
I know it can.
As a basketball historian, though, I got to tell you, I watch these guys go down. Tatum and Halliburton go down, particularly Tatum, like he had been shot, right? And I have no doubt that there's some serious pain involved with something like that. I mean, you're severing a main tendon, right? But what came to mind when I watched particularly Tatum roll around on the floor is the night Kobe Bryant tore his Achilles tendon.
Right.
And then walked to the foul line, made two free throws,
and then
walked himself off the court.
Yeah.
That's so you're saying
pretty
he's
badass.
Cut from a different cloth.
And you hear people say all the time, it's like being shot, the pain.
Yeah, but right? I mean, like when Rodgers had his go, he just sat there and he didn't writhe around in pain. He was just like, oh, shit, I just blew out my Achilles. So maybe it's different depending on how severe it is.
Yeah, the severity.
The way it goes, I don't know.
Great Kobe Bryant story for you. He was lifting with a bunch of guys here in D.C., before they were playing the Wizards. And one of the guys in there that he was lifting with, his name escapes me, but he was a big guy who played from Gonzaga, and he was lifting with Kobe, and he said, man, Kobe, look how buff I am. And Kobe looked at him and said, yeah, that's great, man. Maybe you can be the next Vince Carter.
Oh, like, wow. Vince Carter was a great player.
No, but Kobe's was not about Vince Carter, you know what I mean? Kobe,
no, I hear you. He was about being a complete player and everything else. I would love to know, what do you think Kobe would be saying about the league right now if he were still alive?
Well, the first thing he'd say is, what happened to the Lakers, I suppose. But, you know,
How involved in the Lakers do you think he would be? Would he be a GM somewhere?
No, he was all about, you know, he was knee deep in like women's basketball development. He went into this. Yeah, he was really into it.
He was going to a women's game for all the right reasons. Helicopter
yeah,
crash.
Yeah. And I think he'd turned the page in his life. I mean, what else? He accomplished an awful lot, right?
Yeah.
Back to the injuries, Abe. I don't know what to make of it. I do think that the injury that Halliburton had prior to tearing it obviously would make him more predisposed.
And was that a calf injury?
Calf strain?
Yeah.
So I would assume that you can connect the dots on that one. The other ones, though, are just, to me, you know, Tatum, Lillard, I see no evidence.
The move that got them all, which is that sort of jump sprint,
uh-huh,
is a newer move where they kind of drop their back foot
right.
and go into an instant sprinter's move to try to blow by somebody.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's a new move. I've seen other guys make it. Gilbert Arenas had that move. A lot of guys made that move. And what's interesting, too, is, and getting back to the officiating a little bit, they were very strict about 2 years ago in calling traveling. When you brought that foot back and then lifted your pivot foot before the ball hit the ground, that's a traveling violation.
Wow.
And they were calling it left and right in the NBA.
Where is this? 81?
They've stopped now. No, this is 2 years ago.
Okay.
They've stopped it now.
Traveling in six.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. They call traveling more in the NBA than they do in college. Easily.
Currently.
Wow. Easily. The reason is because kids in college travel all the time. If they called it every time, a play would never happen. You could call it on every play. The kids in college travel all the time.
Now, when you say traveling, do you also mean palming?
Palming is that's different than traveling.
I know, but it's all part of the same thing where they're doing it.
Now that's
steps.
Allowed.
Well,
we've seen how the game has evolved in terms of the way it's being called. We've seen that. Palming as we knew it, is now accepted.
Right.
It's not called.
Standard fare.
Which is, I don't like that. I mean, I'm an old school guy. Because kids are emulating what they see in the NBA and they're carrying the ball a lot, that's how they play now. And those things are not being called.
Who was the first guy to have a crossover?
Well, Iverson was one.
Basketball.
I would say Iverson was the guy who brought it to...
I would say the first guy that I ever remember seeing with a crazy, crazy handle.
Pete Maravich?
No.
Oh, don't go there.
Because
if it was in black and white, Buck, it never happened.
It never happened. Yeah. Didn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And if you don't think the state of the art has advanced in athleticism and basketball, you're also crazy.
That's my idea of roughing it is black and white TV.
What's your favorite black and white show?
The Honeymooners.
The Honeymooners.
I go with Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
You'll binge those?
Yeah, I'll go Yeah.
You guys are a little older than me, so that's your sweet spot. I was talking yesterday about the General Lee replica that jumped the fountain in Somerset, Kentucky. And, I mean, to me, Dukes of Hazzard, Love Boat, Fantasy Island, Battlestar Galactica, those were the shows of my
youth. Yeah, but those were in color, man. You're so soft.
It's not that I'm soft, Donkey. I'm younger than you. Like, you couldn't get black and white shows.
Everybody's
when
younger
I was
than
up.
See, our shows were Dick Van Dyke Show, Hogan's Heroes, Matt McHale's Navy, The Honeymooners. Obviously, The Three Stooges was top of the list.
Right.
All black and white.
Okay, how do we get off on this? We were talking about Achilles injuries.
You were talking about the crossover.
The crossover, yes.
Yeah.
I believe that Syracuse point guard Sherman.
Sherman Douglas?
Sherman Douglas, I believe, had the first crossover that I saw the wild, and he was a great ball handler.
So crossover has been around forever.
Yeah.
Who invented it?
Yeah, I mean,
crossover dribble when I was in high school.
Bullshit.
100%.
With all due respect.
100%. I bet I practice that in
the
driveway for hours.
What about a
through
the legs crossover?
Absolutely.
No.
1,000%.
Okay, listeners, this is a challenge. Find me.
You are full of shit.
Okay.
You are.
So you're telling me the guards of the 70s went through the legs on crossovers?
Yeah.
Jerry West?
No, Jerry West. Were you putting 60s? Jerry West? Yeah.
Point guards.
70s right. Point guards.
Hold on. Best
crossover challenge coming.
70s. At some point, it was a move that had to be invented.
No, I mean, God, I
somebody had to be the first one to do it. From when the peach buckets went up and the belts came off the shorts. I'm talking old basketball.
I think George Mikan did the crossover.
Did George Mike, and he was a big man. Come on now. Did Walt Frazier cross it over?
No.
Oscar Robertson cross it over?
Those are 60s
did
guys.
Nate Arch? These are 70s guys, says the internet. Best point guards of the 70s. Walt Frazier, Nate Archibald, Tiny.
I bet Nate
Oscar
Archibald
Robertson.
Crossed it up. Yeah. I bet Nate Archibald crossed it. And Nate's younger than those other guys. I'm just telling you, Zabe.
Guys would dribble
everybody,
with one hand, right hand, or the left hand. And they wouldn't do this
completely.
To shake
every guy I ever worked out with in high school and college, we worked on that.
Right.
Every single guy.
Okay. Well, we'll leave that for the listeners to find the examples. I could get crushed on this. I'm potentially walking into a hornet's nest or maybe my finest hour.
They didn't do it then like they do it today. Today, first of all, it's become absolutely commonplace. Back then, if you went between your legs, that was like, wow.
Also,
yes,
back then,
it was deemed as crazy.
Well, a lot of coaches wouldn't let you do it.
Yeah.
So you had to play for a guy who let you do it, you know?
It was showboating. Yeah. It was showboating.
Yeah.
And it wasn't done for any...
that fancy dribbling there. Fundamentals. On the fingertips. Bounce, bounce, bounce.
It wasn't done for a real particular reason. Today, it's used as a weapon.
Yeah.
And, you know, behind the back, through the legs, all those things, there's a reason for that now.
Back then,
you did it just to be cool.
I saw a tweet from somebody that had put together a graphic with faces and names. They had the tiers of ball handlers in history.
Uh-huh.
It was quite fascinating.
I saw it, and you know who was first? Or no, I guess Maravich was on the second tier. I did notice that because I always laugh about Zabe's references to Pete Maravich and how he dogs him. But on that first tier, Zabe, Iverson was on that first tier.
I got it right here.
Okay.
Stand by, and I'll get it for you. But yeah, go ahead. Keep talking.
Who else? Kyrie's got to be on that first tier.
Kyrie is stupid.
Yeah. That's insane. Insane what he's able to do. I mean, he could cross over in a phone booth. They don't make those anymore, do they? Sorry.
Well, that was
old reference.
I told you that was when I interviewed Earl Monroe for the first time. I said, how would you describe how people guard you? He said, they could put five guys and me in a phone booth and they couldn't guard me.
I love the phrase that a point guard will give up his girl or his gold before he gives up his dribble. That's the one that I heard right there. So they have the ranking of it. Anyway, let's not get bogged down in that.
All right.
AI, not Allen Iverson, because people were sending around that meme. When it was like, the league is going to use AI to analyze the recent spate of Achilles injuries.
Right.
To analyze. And so people were photoshopping Allen Iverson looking at an x-ray.
AI. I thought it was A1. Who was the politician that said that? She kept saying it.
That was unbelievable.
Here's one for you. There's a guy that built an AI basketball coach using Gemini 2.5. The AI agent providing real-time feedback on every shot. Do you want to see this here as a basketball coach?
Has he got the old coach's shorts, or has he got the?
His name is Farza, and there he is at the line. Shoots it up. Oh, you're pushing the ball, not shooting it.
Well, he's got some
bad
form.
Ugly shot.
Yeah, it's horrible. Sean Marion had a better shot than that.
Okay. But what do you make of the computer seeing through his phone video what he's doing and offering pretty good advice? Pretty good advice, Naki.
Isn't this the next step from the matrix or metrics centric approach that everybody's using in, you know, particularly in the NBA? There's got to be a place for AI.
Where they're measuring how far every player runs and their top speeds and their work rate per minute and everything else.
All you have to do is watch a baseball game to see the exit velocity and the arc and all that.
It's all about exit velo launch angles. You know that, right?
Yeah, I mean...
You know, spin rates are up, velos are up for pitchers. That's why arm injuries are through the roof right now, Buckhams.
If I'm flying an airplane, I'm interested in it. If it's a baseball game, I could give a shit.
How, by the way, is your piloting going?
It's going great. Buck
Hantz has his private pilot license back again.
How about
you are
that?
Leasing a Piper Cub out of Leesburg Airport?
It's not a Cub.
Oh,
sorry,
is that
an
insult?
No, it's an older plane. These are Piper Cherokees, Archers, and Cessna 172s.
So you're flying Pipers or Cherokees?
Well, Cherokee's a kind of a Piper
it's
aircraft.
It's kind of Piper, okay. Piper
it's a low-wing plane, single engine, four people. That and Cessnas, same thing.
172. Do you have a leather helmet?
No, that won't help you much, Knock.
And a scarf. Goggles.
If you go down, the leather helmet ain't going to help you a whole lot.
It
might have helped Sammy Ball, but it's not going to help if I'm
fine. Buck, I love that you're doing this because you're such an aviation passionate, you know, nerd, for lack of a better word. You would be in the cockpit of the team charter all the time when you were calling Bullets games
and
Wizards games.
Yes, when when Mr. Poland had his own plane, a 737, it was an old plane, and he had the Wizards, the Bullets, the Wizards, and the Caps, and Georgetown would
fly that yeah.
plane. And there were only two sets of pilots in it. They were both out of Winston-Salem, Piedmont guys. And I made friends with them, and they let me sit in the cockpit the whole time. And they give me little chores, like the temperature in the plane. I would adjust that. And guys in the back would be
cabin going, temperature.
It's too goddamn hot back here. What's going on? Or if there was ever any turbulence, and I'd come out of the cockpit, they'd look at me and blame me for the you know shit like that.
You're like this FAA rules to even let you touch anything. I would want it to be, but I guess it's a private charter. So
listen, I've talked about this before. Anything goes on a private charter. Like yeah. people are walking around on takeoff and landing.
Is it like Soul Plane?
It's not quite that.
Soul.
Yeah, not quite. The plane's not bouncing up and down like that and shit. There's no rap music that goes with it, but there's no rules. Like Michael Jordan, who would sit in the back with us, would smoke a cigar on the plane.
Sure.
Again, people are walking around on taxi. There's nobody that's going to tell you to sit down. There's just no rules. You can take whatever you want on the plane. You want to carry 8 bottles of water or 6 travel bags. There are no rules on a charter flight. And before 9/11, I could go up in there and sit in the cockpit all the time.
And then after 9/11, not so much.
It got a little bit yeah. dicey. So yeah. that was a cool thing. But yeah,
I wonder why flying coach after that was so hard for you.
Listen,
I mean, imagine this guy having to go sit in 23C.
We've talked about this before. When you fly on those charters and he's on the Maryland plane,
yeah.
There's first of all the NBA they charter of Delta it's called a VIP it's got its own name. There's about 60 seats on it, and the players all sit in the front, and they have like 6 feet of room. Their seats recline fully. Coaches sit in the middle, card table seating, so they can look at tapes and stuff. And we all sit in the back, and they're all first class seats. There's nobody sitting next to you. You have your own seat, and they're not assigned. You just know where your seat is. You can, the pillows are this big. The meals are crazy. I've told you about that. They'll be catered by the Palm or Morton's.
You say there's nobody next to you. You're not saying it's one by one.
No, it's two seats, but nobody sits next to you.
Oh, it's open. They leave that seat open.
Now,
yeah.
Now as social media became popular and teams started adding video people and all of that stuff, then it got to be a little more crowded. But back when we flew, nobody sat.
But the game changer is the security. You don't have to go through the TSA
right.
rigmarole.
Don't like you drive on the tarmac to like a hangar?
Well, you park next to the tarmac at Dulles.
You're right there.
You're right there. You're 100 yards from the plane.
Do you remember when Van Gundy's Civic got flipped in New York on a team flight by the jet wash?
Oh.
That was like a big story. Do you ever remember that? That was great.
I don't remember that.
It was like, not only did his car get flipped by the jet wash because it was parked too close to where they were taxiing out, but they're like, Jeff Van Gundy drives a Civic? I'm not going to find that story for you right now, though. Yeah.
Yeah, no, where we parked at Dulles near Atlantic Aviation, it's kind of across from where the rental cars are, and the Caps fly out of there, too. And no, the plane is pointed in a different way where the jet wash wouldn't destroy any of the cars.
In an accident in 2000, Jeff Van Gundy, after arriving home with the Knicks from Miami, a jet blast from their charter plane lifted his 95 Honda Civic and sent it hurtling over 3 other vehicles. The Civic was totally demolished.
And not to mention the other vehicles.
So you think the players were watching this out of the? Could they see this happening?
How funny would it be to see Van Gundy's Civic get flipped?
Now, yeah. If it were the jet wash, then it would be behind the plane. They couldn't see it. Yeah. Yes. But those charters were, you know, Nock will tell you. And when the season's over, okay, and you get on your first commercial flight, you're like Jerry Seinfeld. Who are these people? Why is anyone sitting next to me?
You're like Kramer saying, I can't go back to the public courses. I'm telling you, I can't. I won't.
It is.
There's brown patches.
It's a killer, man.
The bunkers and the caliber of people.
It's a killer. Those players are treated so exceptionally. And then, so you walk to the thing. Before 9/11, you just got on the plane. After 9/11, they brought out a little, you know,
scanner,
a little wagon that you walk through, and they scan you. But again, you could take whatever you want. It was just a government bullshit. And then when you land, the buses are at the tarmac by the plane. You get on the bus and you go to the Four Seasons. So, I mean, that's this is how these guys are treated. We were privileged to ride their coattails.
Very good. Yeah. What do you make about the Air India crash? How about that?
Yeah,
holy
that was
shit.
That was tragic. I've seen and heard a lot of pilots talk about the theories that they have. The most intriguing one to me was because, you know, the plane took off and then it wasn't just able to climb.
Out of the sky,
it
yeah.
just kind of stalled, if you will.
Yeah.
What one captain who was looking at it said what he thought might have happened was that the first officer, whoever was flying the plane, one guy flies the plane, the other guy works the radio and does these things. He said that when you take off and you start up what they call positive rate, a climb, the first thing you do is bring up the landing gear. Well, the gear was down, as you could see.
Yeah.
He thought what may have happened was that he reached for the flaps to bring those up instead of the landing gear. And every commercial airliner has to take off with flaps. It increases right. the angle of the wing and yeah. gives you lift. If you bring that up at a slower speed, you will stall the aircraft. You can't. You have to have flaps.
Right.
So he thought.
So he might have brought up the wrong thing. Instead of bringing up the gear, he brought up the flaps, and that was that. I heard that theory, but then I also saw that there was some little propeller deployed
yeah.
underneath called the RAT.
Right, the RAT. Correct.
The RAT is a tiny propeller Naki that will deploy on the belly of a jetliner to give at least hydraulic power.
Ram turbine.
It can't fly the plane, but it can get your gear down and your flaps down in case of total engine failure. They think it was a short. One theory I saw was that they think it was a short in the electronics because of poor maintenance. That right as they are about to give it the juice to take off, boop, shorted out. All the power was lost. The RAT comes out to at least give them flaps and gear, but it was too late because they're only like 400 feet off
yeah,
the ground.
No, that would have been way too late. I mean, that happened seconds after takeoff.
So. How about the guy that survived? One guy.
That's unreal. The yeah. video is harrowing. I mean, to watch that yeah. is...
But he's right. How did one person out of 200...
Lucky son of a bitch. The first reports were that he jumped from the plane.
No,
that was not true.
He just... Right.
He just got really lucky.
But you have to wonder, A, how one person survived, and B, how more than one person didn't survive, because the plane basically just landed on top. And that, tragically, that killed everybody yeah. and the fire afterwards, oh, because yeah. he said when he got out of the plane, he said he saw people dying in front of him,
yeah.
which is really a tragedy.
Let's two more things to end on. Expanding the NCAA tournament to 76 teams is being talked about, Naki.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's asking for this. Nobody is fucking asking for
this. I think the Coaches Association might be asking for this.
I know your boy Gary Williams has long advocated for this, and I love Gary. I hold him in the highest regard. It's the one
just
thing
don't just stand
tell.
Behind him.
It's the one thing I just hear right now. Don't tell a quick story on the tee when you're turned ahead. He loses his mind.
Naki's got personal experience.
It will break it. You guys are going to break it.
No.
Don't think it's unbreakable.
No. It's another, what, 10 teams? Or how many? Because you got
60.
Well, you had 64, but you got the play-in games and stuff like that, you know. So I don't think it breaks it at all. I don't think it breaks it at all.
Once you break it out of the 8.5x11 sheet of the tournament bracket,
oh.
it's broken. Even though nobody uses paper brackets anymore.
Are you looking at this from a gaming perspective?
People don't want to see something that you have to flip the sheet over to go, wait, who's playing here and where do they go? The simplicity of the whole ball of wax is on one sheet of paper was the tournament.
I'm old enough to remember when they went from 32 to 48 and there were plenty of people wringing their hands over 48 teams in the tournament.
I understand.
And I was there also when they expanded from 48.
But there has to be a number in which even you would say it's too many. What's your too many number?
You know, do you know how many Division I basketball teams there are?
338.
360. Okay, geez. So you're still talking about only the top 20%. Now, measure that against any other sport where, like in hockey, everybody gets in, basically.
It's a skinny
NBA,
playoff.
It's a very skinny playoff. It does not require any more time, any more days.
So what is your too many number? Like, where would you say, okay, this is too much?
I never really get that much.
128?
Yeah, I wouldn't get over 100 teams, for
sure. So if you did 128, you'd be okay?
No, I said I wouldn't go over 100 at all.
Why not?
No,
you're already at 120.
No, but one of the reasons is because I like the fact that you only the top 20% get
in
there.
Oh, you do like that.
I do. I love that.
Well, then let's keep it at that.
Okay, well, 76 actually would allow you to still kind of maintain that 20%.
All right. Do you think it's going to happen?
Yeah, I do.
This year?
No.
Meaning they'll approve it now to kick in next season.
I think the game can be improved. There's some, like, for instance, I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole.
That's fine.
Like, I'd like to see continuation in college basketball. I love it.
As a and one?
Yeah.
Like the pros.
Love it.
Yeah, I'd be good.
Love it.
Yeah, I could see it easily happening because, as we said before, the game has evolved with the officiating. It's adapting things that we never used to see before.
Also, I'm into trying new shit. Like to me, the best rule ever made in any sport was the pitch count in baseball.
Pitch clock.
So
it's been great.
And 20 years ago, nobody would have ever considered it.
I would have been considered insane 10 years ago. Like, you can't have a pitch clock. Yeah. I want a shot clock in golf. Pro golf.
I'm totally
these
good with
pro
that.
Golfers take way too long. What do
you think? What do you think of that confrontation between was it Keegan Bradley and
no between Patty Harrington and Roger Maltby?
No, this was a different one.
The Keegan on Helmenev.
Yes,
that's from years ago.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, that was from Hardy Park years ago. Did you see the Maltby versus Patty thing?
No,
I didn't see that.
Oh, this is great. Okay.
I heard about it.
All right, this is going to be on the Capital Golf Gang for my true loyal, I consume every bit of Zabe content. Excuse me for double dipping.
Well, all three of those people are going to be really disappointed.
I'll fuck you. It's seven, not three. But anyway, but these guys play golf and they're guys. So I've been on that show before many times. You have indeed, Buckhands. So Harrington's leading the Senior Open. And he hits his drive in round two into the shit, into the trees, into the deep rough. He gets up to where the ball they think it is. He's got a search team looking for it, both players, both caddies, a marshal, somebody else. Maltby for NBC was there, and he was not actively looking. Because Maltby said his producer told him, I need you to be ready to go over here if need be, so he wasn't looking. Well, guess who was cheesed off by that after the round? Harrington. And so he confronted Maltby to be like, hey, you know, you've played golf. You're a former pro. How come you weren't looking for my ball? And Maltby had to go, hey, yeah, I was actually doing my job.
I was working, yeah.
That's unreal.
And, yeah, and Patty was really snippy and bitchy about it.
That's stupid.
So who are you on, Team Harrington or Team Maltby?
I'm on Team Maltby.
Maltby, yeah, easy call.
The guy's working, first of all. There's 12 other people. Not to mention every person that's standing over there is looking for his ball. He doesn't need to be in there looking for his ball. That's ridiculous.
I agree. But it just is like Harrington is widely considered to be one of the nicest guys out there on tour. And this was well after the round. And people just couldn't believe it. Because also Maltby is an OG. Everyone loves Roger Maltby.
There had to be some previous beef here, Zabe. No. Makes no sense.
No, because Harrington apologized a day later.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he was like, I was in the wrong about that. He was just annoyed that he's desperately looking for his ball, and Roger Maltby's just sitting there like, yep. I can get the feeling. Haven't you ever been that way with somebody who doesn't look for your ball enough verve and effort and urgency?
That's a little different.
That happens a lot.
But I've never turned to the sideline reporter who's watching me play golf.
Right. Because they're out there all the time when he's playing. I mean, I've seen Jim Nance out there before when Naki was playing.
Have you ever told somebody you're playing golf with, maybe a first-time guy you met or someone who's a loose friend, I'll look for your ball, but if it's in the rough above my ankles, I'm not going in.
Never heard that.
Is that wrong to say?
Yes.
Fuck you.
You just look for the guy's ball.
Drop one.
Here's my caveat.
It's not Private Ryan. It's a golf ball. I'm not searching for it like it's life or death.
If your ball is on the near side in the rough and I'm on the other side of the fairway, I may not walk over to help you look for the ball.
Oh, now we know.
I'll wait a minute or two before I start to move over there.
Okay. Yeah. I just think that rough that is not above your ankles, sure.
How about this?
Otherwise, I'm not going into tick
this is
land.
A good question for you. You're playing with somebody who maybe doesn't know quite the etiquette that they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Will you tell them things, not just necessarily
like, hey, don't stand here.
Yeah, or yeah, don't, well, you know, don't stand
at 6 o'clock.
Well,
yeah, when I'm putting,
right?
Oh, is
don't
that,
stand in my line.
Gary didn't like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It was the best ball. We're all hitting the same putt. and I at first of all, I stood behind him, and before his putt even got to the hole, he wheeled and pointed at me. Never stand at 6 o'clock.
Well, and he also stood behind him when he was driving from the tee box. He was behind him, and that was a mistake. And don't play any music on the golf course.
It dawns on me, Naki, that Gary Williams has been yelling at you for approximately 63% of your entire life.
You know what?
Going back to when you played for him.
Very true, but I do have his member number at Congressional.
Oh, jeez. Wow. But he'd prefer burning. He'd prefer burning tree.
Yeah, yeah.
But right. No, would you correct somebody, like if they walked in your line for a putt, or if they stepped too close to the hole when they picked the ball up?
If it's egregious enough, I'm trying to be a live and let live guy.
Yeah,
I mean like, a lot of these times, stepping in your line if you're wearing soft spikes, you're not going to make much of a difference.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to end on the weather because Buck Hintz, you love talking weather.
Here we are in Washington. I think when you get up and head out to work and head out to school.
It's so stinking hot already for this summer here in D.C. And I don't know what the historical trends are. I grew up here. I've dealt with many summers. I guess I'm just less tolerant of it now because it pisses me off more. On Monday, we had the highest dew point in the country. Do you know what the dew point was? Do you know what the dew point is?
Of course.
Yeah.
You have to when you fly because there's a temperature in the dew point. And
I did not know. I had to Google it. And it's the temperature at which water will begin to evaporate from the air. So the higher the dew point means the air is more saturated or loaded with water.
Correct.
And the dew point, if it gets, they say, to 65 and above, it's considered oppressive. The dew point in D.C. was 77 on Monday. Temps at 98, 99, at least on my car dash.
I played on Monday.
And?
At River Creek. It was oppressive. It was horrible. We quit after 13 holes.
It was that bad because of the weather?
It was a tournament.
Oh, okay.
And the guys that I was playing with weren't... It was a great tournament for veterans and what have you, raising money and what have you, and an actual tournament for them. So not only was it... not only was it cart path only, which really made it brutal, but you played your own ball.
Oh, so, my.
So 9 holes took 3 hours and 20 minutes.
When they make you wear pants, too?
No, didn't do that. But so we weren't involved in that part of the tournament, the competition part, and we were out of there. Plus, I had to go over to Leesburg to go flying, but it was ridiculously hot. You got to have a lot to drink.
As lifetime Northern Virginia guys,
yep.
Basically, is it getting worse? It's all
sure feels like it.
Sure feels like
it. And that may be an age thing.
We're just older and crankier, right?
Maybe so.
Okay.
Maybe so. And it just seems like it started earlier this year, too. You know, I mean, May was a nice month. First week of June was okay. And then, boom.
But that's always that way.
Yeah.
I mean, tell people you get 2 weeks in June and then kiss summer goodbye.
Right.
And it's going to be a siege.
It almost goes from winter to summer. There's very little spring anymore.
Talk to the people in the upper Midwest. Yeah. They would say, you ain't seen nothing
and
yet.
And here's the other thing, and you guys tell me if this is true. It's already happening now. As you get older, the summers go by so much quicker. It's ridiculous. June's already gone. We're already into July now.
Well, the years go quicker.
Years
there's
do
been
too.
Studies on this, the perception of time as you age.
But the summers are like,
speeds up.
We'll blink and it'll be September and they're playing football already. And we're like, what happened to the summer that just got here?
Well, speaking of time flying, we're already almost at an hour. Thank you guys for coming out today.
Thanks, Ed.
You enjoyed the veal. Naki, you're going to continue on as the voice of Terrapin basketball color analyst on radio. For another couple of years, it looks like.
Well, one for sure.
One for sure. That's good. It's always good to get one more. Buckhantz, you are calling JMU.
Some JMU games and doing
basketball
these,
games.
Basketball. And we do the Wizards alt casts, which when you tell people that, they're like, what is that?
And it can be found on the Monumental Network.
Monumental Sports Network. It's like the Manning casts on ESPN, but they do it with the Wizards and the Capitals when they're both not playing at the same time. So one channel is dark.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's fun.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let's get out and golf. Maybe when it's not so hot.
Absolutely.
Call it September.
That'd be fun.
Something like
September.
That. All right, fellas, thanks for coming out.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for the palm for having us. Thank you for listening, everybody. We will see you next time.
So what happens now? Is the food free or do we pay someone?
Of course not. They send you a bill.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At MyBookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at MyBookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.